Well, good morning, everybody. Again, great morning already. Thank you, worship team. So good. We are in a new series post-Easter. Welcome to the Easter season. We were Lent leading up to Easter, and this is the Easter season where we get to live in to the resurrection of Christ. That was why the worship team led us in that. And we are going to be thinking about now, like, what do we get to do and how do we get to live as Easter people? People who believe that Christ, in fact, rose from the dead and conquered death and the grave for us, and have restored us to a relationship with the Father. This is it. This is now like, all right, how do we go from here? How do we live? And by the way, if some of you discovered our church on Easter, it was time for you to be like, I think we should go figure out a church. And you came and you're here. Welcome. We're really glad that you found us. We want to make you a part of this family. We want you to feel comfortable. So here we go. This is going to be a whirlwind. I get to introduce this series. I'm super excited about this series. You can see that it's called A Blueprint of Discipleship. But here's where we're really going on this thing. It comes out of this. I want to give you a quote, maybe the best and most famous and most apropos quote that Jesus ever gave. And this is what he said. He said over and over, follow me. This is what Christ was about. He said, follow me. It's interesting that when you look at what Jesus said, he said all kinds of things. He taught all kinds of things. But when he gave direct conversation with someone, he didn't say, I want you only to believe in me. He didn't say, I want you to admire me. He said, I want you to follow me. I'm going to call you to be my disciples, which means follower. This is what discipleship is. This is the definition of the word discipleship, that it's a life being with Jesus. Think about the rabbi and the first century followers of the rabbi who walked, as the phrase has been coined, in the dust of their rabbi, right behind him, right in the midst of what he was saying, hearing what he was teaching, watching what he was doing, having him explain everything that he was about so that they would know with life behind their rabbi was how it was supposed to be lived. So discipleship is about being with him. Many of us read a book where this is maybe the subtitle. Last year, a couple years ago, we read a book called Practicing the Way. Be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. This is what somebody does when they're behind their rabbi. They are with him, and they become like him, and they do what he did. And this is the call that Jesus said. Isn't it fascinating? If we had time and I, you know, kind of tricked you and I said, okay, what did Jesus invite you to? We'd be thinking all kinds of moral teachings. We'd think of all kinds of things in the scriptures that he may have said. But when you really look at it, Jesus' core thing was he said, I want you to get behind me and walk with me, be with me, and become like me, and do as I did. This is what discipleship means. And so this series is going to be all about how do we build this life of discipleship. If that's a life following Jesus, not just believing in him, not just admiring him, not just showing up in his house, but actually following him in our daily lives, how do we build this life of discipleship? What is the plan going to be? And this is what our series is going to be about, the blueprint of discipleship. How do we build this life? What's the plan? I actually found a bunch of blueprints of an old family cabin that my in-laws had built years and years and years ago, and I had those blueprints in my garage for some reason, and I opened them up. The interesting thing about that is when I think about that story of my father-in-law building a house, he built the cabin in like 5 months or something with his brother-in-law. They felled trees and planed them, friends. I know. That's, by the way, what a real man looks like, apparently. But when I think of building a house, I mean, I built a tree fort or two when I was a kid, but it was like plywood nailed to the tree. You know, when you look at a blueprint, it is so detailed. And this little cabin that they built for their family 60 years ago, 50-something years ago, the blueprint was so detailed. Like, listen, here's my point. If we're going to build a house, some thought needs to go into it. It is not easy. We don't slap some things together and be like, that'll probably hold. Like, Even the littlest of cabins was put together with incredible planning and details, and every part needed to be in its place. I'm going to say that because this series that we're going to teach is not going to be really an easy thing to hear. I mean, I think it'll be life to your soul. But I also think we're going to be like, we got to pay attention because we're going to build something of substance here. So if the life that Jesus is calling us to is a life of discipleship, following him, being with him, becoming like him, and doing as he did, and we're going to build a plan to do that, then we're going to have to talk in detail about this plan. And so that's what this series is going to be. Here's my title to this morning. It's introductory, but not insignificant thoughts on discipleship. So I want to just launch us into it, and then we're going to talk about that blueprint for the rest of the series. Let me give you some introductory texts, and we're going to do lightning round through the scriptures. You don't need to pull out your Bible. I'm going to have them on the screen, but I just want you to kind of observe some of these things that I've already just laid as a foundation. First, Matthew 9:9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. Now, by the way, what you're going to see in this is really every time when you look, and I just grabbed a smattering of these verses, but when you see these verses, it's so interesting that the simplicity in which Jesus called them, like he didn't say, listen, I want you to be with me and I want you to become like me and I want you to be like we learn that from the rest of the Bible, and he didn't say a whole bunch of other stuff. Listen, I need you to leave your life of this and I need you to stop doing that. And by the way, you're an impatient person and you got to work on your patience. And that, like, he didn't get into the nitty gritty. He basically said, look, at what we're going to start with is I need you to walk with me. And everything else is going to come from that. Do you hear where we're going? So Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth, follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and what? Followed him. That was the second thing I wanted you to notice about these introductory texts. Jesus' simplicity was, I just need you to walk with me and we're going to go from there. And the second thing that happens is that they were like, okay. I mean, what's missing in this text is probably a ton of conversations or reflections or freaking out or conversations with their friends like, where are we following him? And the other guys are like, I don't know, we're already with him, but he's not telling us where we're following him, but we're just going to follow him. But so far, some wild stuff has happened. John 1:43, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, guess what? Follow me. Matthew 4:18-20, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. That's what they were fishermen. I love how Matthew writes this. He goes, look, these guys were not Jesus rabbi followers. These guys were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. And I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. Matthew 16:24, in some of the teaching that Jesus gave on discipleship, you start to see the cost. Verse 24 of chapter 16 in Matthew, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus' call was, listen, there's two ways to live. One way is going to be that you would live however you want to live. And the other way will be that you'll release all that. You'll die to that. You'll submit all your dreams to me. You'll submit all your plans to me. You'll submit all your fears to me. And you walk with me and become like me and do as I did, and you're going to find life. There's only two ways. Is that radical? Another verse that comes up in the same realm, Matthew 19:21. This is where Jesus was talking to what we commonly have called the rich young ruler, a young, successful, wealthy man. And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, if you really want to know how to do life, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. And then, come follow me. Man, I wish I had time to just preach on this text for the entire time that we have together. Because what's happening in this, with following Jesus, he's basically saying, because remember, and we all know this because we were looking for loopholes when we read this text, but we know in our commentaries, when we read it, Jesus said this to this guy because this guy, in fact, the text goes on to say the guy went away very sad because he had great wealth. Because Jesus knew that was the thing that was keeping him from just following Jesus. Is that he was trusting in his own abilities, wealth, status. I got it. I'll figure out life. And Jesus is making a point in all of these texts, but in this text in particular, to say, look at, if you lay down the things that have identified you, oh, you were a fisherman. That's who you are. I got it. But will you follow me? Jesus is making this point that nothing to this guy and to all of us, nothing, if we're going to become disciples, nothing would come before Jesus. That's the point he's making. And maybe even a better image, as a rabbi, of a follower of Jesus, nothing will come between us and Jesus. Listen, that's enough of a sermon right there. Nothing will come before him, and nothing will come between us. Right there, we hear the call to look at the landscape of our life and our passions and our longings and our lovers, the things that we've gotten our hearts connected to. And we go, is anything before him? And is anything between us? And Jesus is like, this is so terrifying. And yet, life that comes when we follow Jesus is what we were made to experience. So this is discipleship. Yay! And this is a blueprint. This is going to be the plan for how we build a life of discipleship. We're going to walk through that together in this series. The summing up following Jesus is that we are invited not just to believe in him, not just to admire him, not just to admire his teachings, but to walk with him in the dust of our rabbi, saying, I'm going to go where you go, and I'm going to become what you want me to become, and I'm going to do as you did, like my whole life is around the way that you said life should be lived. That's the summary of it as disciples. I hope you sense in that a holy terror and a compelling draw. I mean, that you're compelled, that you're drawn to it in some way. That you're like, yes, if that's how life was designed to live, then I don't want anything less than that. I want to follow Christ. And the beauty of it is, of course, where's that going to lead? We're like, I don't know. We're just going to follow him. And we're going to follow him down the road, and down the road, all those things will take place as he has designed them. Man, that is a life that we can barely in today's modern world, where we're grasping to take care of ourselves and grasping to make ourselves feel okay about life. It is such a wild concept to be like, I'm just going to follow Jesus and see what happens. Now, before we talk more about that, and we will the rest of the series and a little bit more in this talk, but I want you to know how serious we are about this, how serious we are about discipleship. It's one of our three ministry priorities. Here's our three ministry priorities at Marin Covenant Church. Three ministry priorities. This is what we're going to be about. There's so many things we could be about, and here's the three things our church is about. If you've been to the Explorers course, you've seen the graphic, and we've talked about these things. Worship, of course, we are going to give God glory, and we're going to get here, and we're going to orient ourselves around worshiping God, which is part of laying down our lives. And second, we're going to be about discipleship. There it is. And third, we're going to be about families, because we're going to help reach the next generations with the saving knowledge of Christ. But right in the middle, it's like discipleship. Yep, it's one of the three. It's one of our three priorities. We're like, we want you to learn how to follow Christ. We want you to learn how to build a life of discipleship. We want you to know how to go about it. And so we're dead serious about it. And as we think about how to disciple, we're equally serious about how we're going to go about it. Because as we just talked about, discipleship's going to require, thinking about how do we really follow Jesus, it's going to require some significant theological reflection. and some really impactful spiritual formation around these three parts of it. We're going to need to be theologically reflective and spiritually formed around our identity as followers. That's the first thing. That's part of our discipleship strategy. We're going to be thinking about our identity as followers, our formation as followers. You want to move to those next, Hank, those next couple of slides? And our calling as followers. These three words, you'll see them embedded in a lot of the things that we do. A lot of our writings on the website, if you've already been stalking us to try to figure out who we are, we're like, oh, they're about discipleship, and their discipleship is about our identity, our formation, and our calling as followers of Jesus. We're going to actually parse these during this sermon series. Let me just give you a little bit more of that in just a minute. But in this series, we're going to dive deep into the theological and practical metaphor of building a house as a way to process these three things. And that's why we went with the idea of blueprint. So here's a life of discipleship as a metaphor for building a house. And this is why I think this is appropriate, because a house is something you build. It's something you put together, right? It's something that you have to work on, or it's not plywood and 2x4s. You're like, oh, in order to stand, it's got to like be built and thought through. But it's also something you live in, and it's something you live out of. And so a house is a great metaphor for a life of discipleship. Let me give you the idea of how we're going to use the metaphor. Here's the metaphor. First, our identity is foundational. Our identity is foundational, but our identity, right, as a beloved child of a perfect father, adopted into God's family, our identity is loved and graced and delighted in, and God's pictured us from before the world began. All of this is our identity. It is absolutely essential. It's foundational. Picture it as the foundation of the house, that we get it straight who we are and who God is. When we do the discipleship cohort, we spend the first few months just talking about identity, that we're the beloved, delighted in children of a perfect father. And everything comes out of that. God calls us to holiness because it matters how we live, and he loves and delights in seeing us thrive the way that he's designed us to live. Everything all of a sudden starts coming through this idea of our identity in Christ. It is absolutely foundational. We'll talk about that over the next couple of weeks. Pastor Shelley, are you preaching on that next week, starting that? Pastor Shelley is our favorite preacher, so you need to be there for that. Secondly, our formation, we said our identity, formation, our calling. Secondly, our formation by the Holy Spirit and spiritual practices actually becomes the house. These are the 2x4s. These are the bricks. This is the mortar. This is the stuff that actually builds the life itself, that we are doing spiritual practices, getting in the way of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit transforms us so that we're becoming more and more like Christ. It's a lot of spiritual and theological terminology. If you're new to this and you're not quite following, that's totally understandable. But here, to put it in simple language, we're going to do some stuff to get us in the way of God's Spirit so that he can change us. And that becomes the house that we're living in. So our identity is the foundation. The stuff we do, living out of that identity to connect with God, that's going to be our house. That's going to be the structure. And the third part of the metaphor is that our calling is actually our place in the neighborhood. Our calling, which is activating our unique gifts and the holy longings that God has put in us to live for him, to serve him. That calling, that's actually the place that we then live out into the neighborhood. Pastor Ben is just famous for, maybe infamous, for, you know, saying, listen, all the love and mercy of God, that's our, we receive that gift, but we never just receive that gift without then saying, and so then how do we now become your person and live that out and share that love and mercy with the world? So there is this activation of who we are that comes out of our identity and our formation, and now we live that out in the world. That may sound like, okay, I got to go serve him. Well, maybe, but actually, when we're grounded in our identity as the beloved children of a perfect Father, and we're being changed more and more into who we were created to be, it actually is just this natural, joyful, privileged response to be able to just give that love in the way that He's uniquely designed us to give it. Our identity is the foundation. Our formation is the structure that we're building, and our calling is living that out in the neighborhood in which that house is built. More to come in the series that we're going to preach. I hope that whet your appetite a little bit, and I hope it softened the blow just a bit. But before we close, here's a question that's in my mind as I pondered as we were planning this series and thinking about this question. The question in my mind is, well, why follow Jesus? Why follow Jesus? And there's three phrases that came from Jesus' mouth that I just want to parse as we turn the corner towards starting this off. Why follow Jesus first? Because He's the way. Let me show you the verse where this comes from. This is from John chapter 14. There was some teaching, and Jesus was saying, hey, listen, I'm going to go to, you know where I'm going. You know where this is going. I'm building the kingdom, etc. Thomas, not being honest enough to not be super clear on everything, said to Him, Lord, we don't know where You're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way. Now, before we go on, just think about what I just said there. Think about that idea of following Jesus down the road. Like, where are we going? Well, let's just start with being with Me, and we'll take all the rest. Come. Just come follow Me. And where we're going and how that changes you and what that means in terms of your calling in this world, like, that'll all open up for each person as they just follow Jesus. See, where the Spirit of the Lord is, friends, there's freedom. There's liberty. Because we go, okay, I'll just do what You've asked me to do. And Jesus said, I'm the way. Thomas is like, where are we going? What's the way? And Jesus said, I'm the way. You just follow Me. And I'm the truth and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. So He's the way. He's the way, friends, in the sense that He's the rescue. He's a rescue. He's a rescue both in terms of being a way of being of making a way for us to be restored into a relationship with God. That's a rescue because prior to knowing Christ, we're separated from God and have no relationship with God. He said, I'm the one that brings you to the Father. I'm going to restore you by My forgiveness, My grace, and My mercy. That's what the cross was all about. And so before we experience that, we don't have a relationship with God. And so we're rescued. He's the way to God. He's the rescue of a life without God, but also He's a rescue in the sense that He's a rescue from us having to try to figure out life on our own. He goes, follow Me. This is the way. Let Me show you the way. And friends, that is such a message to our hurting hearts and souls, because let's just face it, let's be really honest, okay? Life is too hard and too complex, and we are too broken, and everybody that we're encountering is too messed up as well. We will never have acquired enough knowledge and skill and expertise and maturity to navigate every situation we're going to face in life. You'll never have enough. It's too much. Instead, we need to be following Jesus. Because we're not going to have to know everything, because Jesus says, just walk with Me, get with Me, follow Me. He's the way. He's the way. Oh man, I wish I had time to share again for the fifth time in the last decade the illustration of that time I got lost in Japan prior to cell phones. If you know this story, you just imagine the illustration. If you don't, just know that I was so lost that I had no solutions. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll call somebody. No cell phones. Don't know how to work the pay phones. Don't read Japanese. Don't speak Japanese. I was so lost that I stood on a street corner that I thought I was supposed to be on, waiting for my friends to come pick me up, but I was on the wrong street corner. I had no way to solve the problem. The short version of the story is until a man who had seen me stand there for 2+ hours came back on his way back from the store and said in perfect English, "Do you need help?" And my answer was, no, I'm good, I got it. And he literally slipped his arm in through my arm and said, where do you live? And I told him the name of the village that I was staying in that summer. And he slipped his arm through mine. And he literally physically walked me every step on the bus, to the train station, on the train, to the place. And even by the time I got there, I'm like, I recognize where I am. I can do it. I can walk from here. And he stopped and he looked at me and he basically looked and said, how has today gone that makes you think you're... Life's too hard, too complex, we're too broken, and so is everyone else in the world for us to ever acquire enough expertise to navigate life without him. He says, you come with me, follow me, I'm the way. Second, he's the truth. Why follow Jesus? Because he's the truth. And I know, here's another cynical thing to say, but it's real. It's not cynical, none of this is cynical, this is real, friends. Here's something I want to tell you. Everyone is lying to you. The world, your flesh, and the devil. They're all lying to you. And we know it, and so we're all girded up. That's why it feels so desperate, because we know that those three things have given us a load of baloney. And we're like, which way is up? And Jesus said, I'm the truth. The answer to every single philosophical question is some version of what's the meaning of life. And Jesus said, I'm the truth. And by his Holy Spirit, he promises to guide us into all truth. Jesus said, my sheep, they learn my voice and they listen and they follow me. And that's contrary to the way the rest of the world feels to us. So again, there's no way for all this could be written down. There's no way for you to have enough acquired wisdom, to enough insight to avoid all the false truths and all the false voices and all the false promises and all the false lovers in our world. There's no way we're all, even as a diligent believer, attender of church, reader of the Bible, there's no way that you would know enough to navigate all of that, but you won't have to, because Jesus said, just come get with me and follow me and I will guide you into all truth. He is the truth. And third, why follow Jesus? Because he is the life. He brings life at its fullest. It's what we were looking for, what Jesus brings. It's what we've always been looking for. It's what we were made for. This is why Jesus proclaimed, is anybody thirsty? Is anybody looking for more? Is anybody looking for what they were meant to experience, what life was supposed to be about, what Eden had in mind when we created the world before sin obliterated all of this perfection? Is anybody longing for that? Jesus said, you come to me then, because I bring living water. I will bring life, and life abundant, life at its fullness. The whole world is a collection of stories and tribes and nations of people looking for life, but the evidence shows that no one is finding it on their own, friends, or the world would be in a way better place. Out of the raw materials of our lives, we can't create the life our souls crave, but you don't have to, because Jesus said, you come get with me and you follow me. And I'll lead you to life. He's the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life. Ben, why don't you guys come up? Here's the conclusion of today. It's the quote from Jesus again. Follow me. And the question in front of us is, am I going to do that? There's something inside my heart that makes me think, well, yes, that's what I want. I want to move beyond admiring Jesus. I want to not just believe in Jesus, but I want to follow Jesus. Because he's the way, the truth, and the life. In this series, we're going to talk about how to do all that, but this morning there's a choice in front of every one of us. And that choice is, will you decide that you'll follow him? Imagine him walking into this room. Imagine him meeting you at work. Imagine him meeting you in the midst of being up all night with that sick kid. And he comes over to your face and he lifts up your head to look full into your soul. Imagine what he would say to you. He'd say, I made you. And I know you. And I love you. And I know life. He'd say, follow me. Let's walk together. He's the way. And we need him leading us. He's the truth. And we need him to tell us how to deal with all the lies. And he's the life. He's the one we've been truly looking for. And so in response to that, our souls, they cry out to want to worship him. They cry out to experience him. And they cry out for the grace that he would give us whatever we need to follow him faithfully to the end that he's designed for us. It's going to be a rich series. And let's, as we begin it, let's stand for some extended time. There's a number of worship songs, a mashup of some great worship songs as we seek to settle the issue of the choice before us. Will I follow Jesus? Let's stand together.